are listening to Look Who's Talking. I am Cameron Minter. I am your co-host and our wonderful Head Start director, Jessica Coffey.
Hey, y'all.
Is our host. What's going on, JC?
Not much, Cam. It has been, I don't know how long.
I know.
It's been the summer.
I know. You've been busy, haven't you?
I have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Should I tell the viewers?
I mean, you should.
I mean, I got engaged.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Yay.
Yay.
I know.
That's an awesome, awesome thing.
Yes. You know, my mama and daddy was like, how did this happen?
Look, why you start talking about mama and daddy already?
It's tradition. I need to talk about what they say to me that is, you know, are you sure?
Right.
My dad said,
right.
Are you having cold feet? I said, already?
Already?
No,
so how long you been engaged?
Since August.
Wow.
I know. It's like 2 months.
It's been a minute now.
What? Yeah, two months.
About 2 months. About
well,
two
almost
months.
Three, I guess, in November.
Look, don't start cheating. You sound like the kids. I'm 7 and a half. No, you're seven.
Or mom's, oh, my baby's 15 months.
What?
We're not doing that.
Yes.
We're not doing that.
3 months in. We'll say 3 months in.
That's great.
Ask me what's playing.
What's playing?
Everything.
I know it.
I don't have time to waste, baby, honey.
Everything's playing.
I am 43 years old.
Here's the question.
Ain't no waiting.
Here's the question.
I should have went to the courthouse last week.
Here's the question.
It's not too late, though.
Here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Did you allow him to have any input?
Absolutely.
Go!
Really? You did?
I allowed him to.
Oh.
Now, did he? His response is, oh, honey, whatever you want. I'm like, no, you have to. Oh,
whatever you like.
Now, he did say this. There's one thing he said, I do not want in any bride, any other bride, because, you know, I'm not normal.
You're not normal.
In a good way. Any other person probably would have been like, no, that's a deal breaker for me.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, no flowers.
What?
So
what?
He is a funeral director, mortician.
Oh, yeah. Yes. He's tired of that.
And he's like, flowers equals death to me.
Mm.
I said, oh. A matter of fact, I need for him to probably listen to this podcast.
Bruh.
Clearly, that's trauma.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I said, cool. Right. I'm good with that. No flowers.
How you going to do that?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, we can't talk about that.
I have ways.
That can be released.
Hold up.
That would be released after the fact.
Yeah, that would be released after.
I got you.
But my decorator was excited.
Oh, well, I'm sure.
Ecstatic.
She's crazy.
Yeah.
She's crazy with it.
She said, you ain't said nothing but
right,
a thing.
Right. Yeah. She tired of flowers anyway. She ready to do something different, ain't she?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're excited. This season of planning. But what I realized is I like telling people what to do, but I don't like them asking me questions. I don't know.
You just want them to make it happen.
Yes.
Just make it happen. I want to be dropped from the ceiling and twirled 3 times. Okay, goodbye.
like that.
Right.
So,
right.
And I also trust professionals.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, I want this color. I don't want this.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want to say.
That's
you
it.
You come up with whatever is in my head that I haven't said that you can make it.
I feel a bridezilla coming on.
Oh, no. I've been pretty easy.
I mean, but ain't nothing done yet. I mean, everything is set.
Yeah. But you know what?
Have dresses been made?
Oh, yes. Honey, I got that 2 weeks.
Wow. Okay.
No, probably like 3.
I ain't talking about your dress.
Oh.
I'm talking about everybody else's dress because yours.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you're going to come in something, you know, besides white, like you're so pure. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Go!
Okay. It's the other color scheme with the other people.
Oh, no. Cam,
it's done.
I have made this so easy for everyone.
Uh-oh.
everyone.
See, that's mm-hmm. a setup for failure. When you say I've made it easy for everyone, and then when there's trouble, then you're like, I made it easy for everyone. See?
No.
See? That's what's gonna happen.
No. This is, I think, my sister is the bridezilla, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, she
is.
It's not me, it's her.
It's good that it's not you, but you need one.
Yeah.
You need one to speak on your behalf.
I mean, she had a bridal shower venue in Paducah, mm-hmm. like within 2 weeks. And I said, yo.
Right.
And then I told them, I don't want to know anything about bridal shower, bachelorette parties, any of that. Don't tell me anything. I'm grateful for anything mm-hmm. because I know the economy we're in.
Right.
They were like, bruh, why you trying to count our pockets?
Right.
You know what? I won't. Y'all do what you want.
Do what you want.
I'm going to be grateful.
That's the best way to be.
Yeah.
That's the best way
to be. So there's no expectation for me.
That's good.
If
I had no expectation and did not get a bachelor party.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Did you want me?
I'm still scarred.
Hey, it's not too late.
It's too late. It's too late.
You can have a bachelor. Well, I guess you can.
Yeah.
You can have a I'm still married party with the mm-hmm. boys. You could.
Yeah, it don't hit the same.
Know,
but
I
you know, I want you to keep the mystique of marriage.
Uh-huh.
I want you to keep that mystique until after the wedding, because that's when the marriage starts. The wedding is all that preparation. That's great.
Yeah.
But then the wedding starts. The marriage starts.
Well, we've already said, we could have went to the courthouse after all this planning.
Now, wait a minute. Now, hold on. I got to speak for mom and dad. Not after all this time, you're not getting ready to go to no courthouse. That's why your sister said, don't be counting our pockets. We've been saving up for this.
Listen, and when they were like, you know, mm-hmm. that, I was like, how much you got on this?
Come on. And they was like, no.
And my mom was like, oh, you forgot to invite this person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk mm-hmm. about your checkbook, bro.
Right. Tell me how it's going to work.
It's been fun. Well, let me say this. It wasn't fun at first because we were going to do a destination.
Yeah, you was tripping. But, you know, I allowed, you know.
Well, you know, you hear people say, destination's much cheaper.
I don't believe that.
That stressed me out so bad that I said, no.
I don't believe that.
No destination. And I had everything I wanted and everything we agreed on
mm-hmm.
together within like 2 or 3 weeks. Then I was like, why does it take people so long? You either know what you want or you don't.
Yeah, well, you've been thinking about it for a minute, so.
I mean, don't put look, me
look,
out
look,
there.
Look,
I
come
been
on
thinking
now.
About it like that.
Come on now. You know, y'all women, y'all from childhood, y'all think
now,
about this thing.
I know what I like and what I don't like.
Okay. Well, with all of that, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Cam.
We're so happy for you.
I'm excited.
And I think it's time for a coffee break.
All right, y'all. So for this coffee break, I want to say you deserve rest, relaxation, and rejuvenation. Give yourself permission to recharge. You know, simple but sweet, because, you know, it's that season where we get so sidetracked by holidays and all of that. You know, you need time to rest. You need time to relax, rejuvenate.
Yeah, I've been taking care of my mom, and my wife constantly reminds me, you gotta rest, you gotta mm-hmm. get some sleep, you gotta recoup, you gotta regenerate, because once you go down, no one is gonna get anything out of you. So it's important to listen to that recoup and that relaxation and that
reminds me, you ever notice how easy it is to fall? But how hard it is to get back
Say
up.
That.
It takes a little bit more energy.
Yeah, you talking about my grades in college. It was easy to get that 3-4 freshman year, but when I went down to a 1-4, took me forever to get back up to 2-5.
What does the good Donnie McClurkin say? We fall down.
We fall down.
But we get up.
Get up.
Yeah.
Hey, we're talking about some great things today, but yes. We've got a guest in the house that is really, you know, that coffee break was right on time.
Cause absolutely. It flows right into.
It's going to flow. It's going to flow. That yes. segue. I see you. You're segging right on in.
Like the dew in the
Come
morning.
Come on. You act like you ain't been off. Okay.
Gently rest upon my heart.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So I am excited because today we have one of our Policy Council members. Mm-hmm, she's mm-hmm. a member of Policy Council and someone I met, well, actually through Policy Council. And what intrigued me about her is, like, I knew she looked at our data because she had questions.
Oh,
I said, oh
my.
Yes. Someone is putting that effort into
yes,
it.
Yes.
So we are talking to Miss Dr. Clarissa Bell. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous.
Yeah, so
I
don't want to do any introductions about her because I actually want you to tell the viewers about yourself and your background and all that good jazz.
Okay, well, all right. You're just going to throw me in there.
I am.
Just throw you in.
Well, my name is Dr. Clarissa Bell. I'm a licensed psychologist. Mm-hmm. Specializing in working with trauma-exposed children. And I think a big part of my mission really is to help create healing communities mm-hmm. because as traumatic events happen in the context of relationships, healing also happens in the context of relationships. So within my practice, we do a lot of training and consulting with child-serving organizations, as well as something that's super important to me is mm-hmm. my spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we also really try to focus on helping churches and clergymen help those who are having mental health struggles.
Yeah.
How do we create church environments and communities so that when people come to you, it can be also an environment where they can have that continual restoration as well as a positive experience as they try to address their mental health difficulties.
You talking to me? She talking to me? Don't even know it.
I love that. I love that because, you know, in the faith-based organizations, you know, give it to God,
mm-hmm.
but give it to God and go to hell a therapist is
there
what
we
I
go.
Think, you know?
Mm-hmm. We need Jesus and therapy.
Yes, absolutely.
We'll take whatever that's going to heal.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Whatever's
going
to heal. And sure. And some people see it one way and some people see it another way, but healing is essential. We mm-hmm. got to heal. And yeah.
And you know what? One of the things that sticks out, like with the Head Start programs, we are teaching the children early. Mm-hmm. However, when we bring parents in, when we bring staff in, it's harder for us to be able to connect with the healing because at that time, we weren't taught at an early age on how to connect, how to deal with our emotions, how to express our feelings. So we are definitely going to get into the children, but what do you see when it comes to adults being able to process the trauma? And how is there a way for adults to get out of that, you know, just the trauma and
broken
trauma?
Yeah. You go ahead. You're the professional.
I feel like so this is going to be an hour.
Yes.
You know, I think this is the thing about a traumatic event.
Mm-hmm.
Many times it's kind of if a fish doesn't always realize they're in water, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times there's a lot of maladaptive functioning around us, a lot of patterns, and those things don't oftentimes just happen with the person in front of you. There isn't a lineage,
mm-hmm.
and there are things that they've seen and things that they've experienced. And one thing I'm so excited about, particularly within minority and brown communities, is that the understanding of mental health and that the understanding that our mind and our emotional functioning matters, that's becoming a lot more normalized.
Uh-huh.
People are more willing to talk about it. So I think the first step in addressing anything is level of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be aware that there is a problem. We have to be aware that there is something going on. And also, I think another step is that knowledge gap of knowing, now that I know, what am I going to do something about it, you know? Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of times I think we are in an interesting space where mental health is becoming so much more normalized.
Yes.
And people are talking about their mental struggles.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we have a tendency to bleed all over each other.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And when I say that is we will embrace that issue and we'll talk about that issue, but then we are either stuck or incapable of taking the next step of addressing those things. Mm-hmm. And so kind of going back to your initial question, what can adults do? First, I think become aware. Mm-hmm. Secondly, begin to seek community and resources as well as understanding of self so they can start addressing those things.
Gotcha. Ooh.
That's powerful. We're going to continue talking with Dr. Clarissa Bell after this break. You are listening to Look Who's Talking.
This past year has highlighted the strength of Community Action Council. Every day, our staff works together to help families recover from this crisis. We're educating children at home and in person, helping parents who lost their jobs, and helping households avoid eviction. Our work at Community Action Council has never been more important than it is right now. So why not join us? We have employment opportunities requiring a range of skills from entry level to advanced. Apply online at commaction.com.
Community Action Council's Head Start programs are now enrolling for the 24-25 school year in 15 counties, including Lexington. Head Start offers high-quality early childhood education for qualifying families with children between the ages of 6 weeks and 5 years old. Spaces are limited and filling up quickly, so to help ensure your child receives the Head Start advantage this year, start your application today by calling 859-233-4600 or go online at comaction.org. That's commaction.org.
You are listening to Look Who's Talking, and today we are talking with Dr. Clarissa Bell. Now, Dr. Bell, you said something right before the break about the black and brown community embracing mental health. And I was kind of shocked you said that because typically, in my opinion, we embrace it, but we don't deal with it. And let me give you an example. Everybody know. Oh, I hate to say it this way, but crazy Pookie on the corner. Everybody know that Pookie got some issues, right? And so when the police come, the community stands up and say, hey, wait a minute, hold on, Pookie's got some issues, right? But we haven't dealt with Pookie's issues. Is that what you're talking about when you embracing mental health? Because it seems like, in my opinion, the communities embrace it. We know those that are in our community that are in struggling and need some help, but I'm not sure if they're getting the help.
So you're asking a really nuanced question. Mm. And I do want to kind of level set and make it clear that I think within our culture and community, we've always had some level of awareness and we have dealt with mental health issues, right? Mm-hmm. We may not use those correct, or I'm not going to say correct, that's a terrible way to phrase that. We may have not used clinical terms. Mm-hmm. So, you know, somebody say my nerves bad.
Right.
That's anxiety, right?
Right.
You know, somebody
sure
say, you know, somebody say, you know, they just a little off.
Right.
You know,
right.
That could be talking about somebody who experiencing psychosis or somebody that kind of talks into themselves, you know. So we have had language mm-hmm. to deal with these
right.
things,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. But there are so many reasons why, and I don't want to make this just a motivation issue. There are so many reasons why people have not always dealt with the standard medical community to address mental health
right,
difficulties.
Right.
That's a long history of how brown people and black people have been conceptualized within those communities, mm-hmm. how they have been treated. So I think there are very real reasons why people have not always directly addressed mental health in those ways. But we have used community. We have used our churches to address those things. So I think what we're starting to see now is, and I do think it's generational. Mm-hmm. The younger generation, they're much more likely to seek out services within the medical community and the therapeutic community, where my grandma's not going to do that.
She ain't going to do that.
But yet and still, she has had ways of coping, right?
Exactly.
And I think it's important to say that when we deal with trauma and deal with our mental health difficulties, dealing is such a broad term. Mm-hmm. From the standpoint, I don't believe everybody has to go to therapy.
Right.
Some people believe that. I tell my clients when I was doing therapeutic work, you weren't born with a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
My role in your life is temporarily. My role in your life is get you to baselines, help build up community so that those natural coping can kick in.
Right.
But I do think we're at a place now where people, you got to think about it, how the pendulum swings.
Mm-hmm.
Either people are all the way in or all the way out.
Right.
And I think what people are doing now is we're talking about mental health. Mm-hmm. We're using the terms. You know, you can go on TikTok and diagnose yourself and YouTube. But what people aren't doing is they're using these clinical terms without maybe a full knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are using those terms in a way that allows them or that promotes them staying in those maladaptive patterns. Mm-hmm. Awareness of anxiety doesn't mean that that anxiety, we just sit in it. Now that we are aware of it, what are we going to do about it? Right?
Mm-hmm.
You may have anxiety that prevents you from moving forward in particular areas of your life, from addressing certain things, and that is very real.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be acknowledged and validated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do that. But once we do that, now we have to build skills and community to deal with it. And I think that's the place where we need our adults to go, because when they're able to go there, they're able to model those things for children.
I'm so glad you said that. So bringing it to our kids, dealing with trauma. Tell us what, because a lot of our older generation have dealt with trauma and have not dealt with trauma, what should we be looking for in our children that are have experienced trauma?
So I always say this, children will show you before they tell you, right? And unfortunately, we conceptualize a lot of the misbehaviors, the acting out, as they just bad,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
You know, you just need a whooping, you know, or you know, we have this as a poor behavior and decision issue,
right?
But these children are asking you for help,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have children who may be non-compliant, aggressive, children that are defiant, fear does not always look like, you know, we have a lot of anxious kids and anxiety. You know, we have that fight, flight, or freeze response.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our children lash out, some of them pull in, and some of them just like don't know what to do. So I think when you ask the question, what are we looking for in our children? I think we have to start looking at those behavior markers.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, and I this is the way I talk about my kids and my parents when I work with them, I believe people do the best that they can with where they are.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we are motivated to seek things from our environment. So if I have a kid who is constantly acting out, if I have a kid who's really withdrawn, even those developmental delays are also significantly tied to traumatic events.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of kids who have speech delays and those type things. When I'm seeing those things, I am asking myself, one, what happened to you?
Mm-hmm.
And two, what is the benefit of this that you're doing right now?
Wow.
Right? And so I need to figure out what happened, and I need to figure out what's the gain.
Yeah.
And if I figure out what happened, I can target the root. And if I figure out what's the gain, then I can start helping you achieve that goal in a much more productive manner for the environment.
Mm-hmm. So I want to ask, you know, we continue to say trauma and trauma exposed. What are, I think folks, you know, think about major issues like dealing with death, dealing with, you know, can you give us some of the types of traumas that could lead to a child possibly acting out?
Yes. Yeah, so, all right, I'm gonna give you the clinical term, mm-hmm. and then we're just gonna make it real simple, okay? So when we say a traumatic event, that is when a child or an individual experiences, directly or indirectly, mm-hmm. experiences mean it happened to me, my person, my being,
yeah.
or I witnessed it happen to someone else, and through that experience, they believe their life was in danger or a serious threat.
Okay.
And so you oftentimes feel emotions of fear, helplessness, hopelessness, mm-hmm. and your ability to cope with that thing is overwhelmed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's really important to level set and help us understand that just because you experience something really scary doesn't mean that you're going to have a traumatic reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
The trauma is the event.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are traumatized, that is looking at your reaction to that event.
Mm-hmm.
We can have two different children who live in the same house, go mm-hmm. through the same thing, and one is just like, I mean, yeah, it was real bad, but, you know, I mean, I got through it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you have one kid is like, yeah, it was real bad, and I'm stuck.
Mm.
Now, one kid isn't better than the other. They're no different. They just have different reactions.
Yes.
And so that's when we... So trauma is the event. Our response is that traumatic reaction, mm-hmm. right? And so people oftentimes think of trauma as the big T's, you know, physical abuse, any type of abuse, domestic violence, being in a storm mm-hmm. can be a big T, going through a traumatic storm, a car accident, a dog bite.
Mm-hmm.
All those things can be traumatic. However, there are also little T's that we can go through.
Yeah.
And we look at these as distressing events. Parent conflictual interactions.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe nobody was fighting at my house, but everybody was always yelling.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what was going to happen. That mm-hmm. can be a little T. Food insecurity, not mm-hmm. knowing where things are going to be, not knowing where you're going to lay your head. Housing insecurity, all those things can
right.
be, and I wouldn't even say those little T's, but they're just things that people oftentimes don't think about.
Right.
Having
right.
a parent who's incarcerated
mm-hmm.
can also be traumatizing for some kids. Bullying at school.
Yeah.
That teasing. So the bottom line is you define what's traumatic for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't define it. Nobody else can define it. You define what's traumatic to you, and then we look at your response to that event.
Mm-hmm.
What are some self-care matters for caregivers of traumatic children?
So this is the thing, I think, with self-care when it comes to addressing the trauma of your children or the trauma of yourself, right? So I think one thing we realize is that when a traumatic event happens, let's imagine it like a flame, mm-hmm. right? Like a fire. You know, life has happened. You're trying to put this fire out, but all the things I'm doing is just not working, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have kids who are triggered all over the place. They're flaming.
Mm-hmm.
You have parents who are triggered all over the place. They're flaming. And I say fire plus fire equals a hot mess, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we get a lot in homes where people are dealing with intense mental health or life crises.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fires everywhere. It's an intense environment. So we have to find some water to put it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what our self-care is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care, we have kind of worded it down to, I'm going to go get my nails done.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to go buy a new outfit. I'm going to go hang out with my girlfriends. All those things can be self-care.
Come on, but tell the truth.
You know, so, hey, you can slide some extra money in somebody's wallet, you know,
right,
be
right.
a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think the significance of self-care for adults who are traumatized and working with trauma-exposed children mm-hmm. is that you actually provide space for people to regulate and heal. Mm-hmm. That is what you're doing. That is why self-care is so essential.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just a fad term, but it's an essential part of the healing process.
Right.
If you're always escalated, how can you de-escalate a child? If mama is always or daddy is always tense,
mm-hmm.
how can a child look at you to help co-regulate?
Mm-hmm.
So somebody has to bring down the temperature, have to ground themselves, rejuvenate so that they can be an anchor for the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what self-care allows adults to do.
That's great. That's
honey,
awesome.
This is some good stuff. I'm over here just a grinning. Like, mm-hmm.
That's powerful. That's powerful because I always use this as an example, and I hope you know what I'm going to say. Prince of Tides. Have you seen that movie?
Prince of Tides.
Anyway, it's a great movie, and it's dealing with childhood trauma. There was a some prisoners that broke loose, broke in the house.
I have seen that movie. That is a good movie.
I always identify with that because of trauma experience. Not that, but trauma experience as a child that's not dealt with. That it was hushed up and they went on with life. And just like you said, one reacted one way, but even him being okay, Nick Nolte, him being okay was not okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But his sister dealt with it in a totally different way. And then they went, there was a therapist who was trying to figure out what's going on with your sister. And she began to be with him and realize the trauma that they all had not dealt with.
I love
that movie. Mm-hmm. But it is really sad.
It is. It's a heavy movie.
It's very, very heavy. It's I've only seen it like once, but I never forgot it.
Yes.
And yes. So, you know, our children are dealing with things. Even when we try to keep them awake, because my mom and them, they never talked to us about bills. We never knew what was going on, but we knew when something was wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We knew when it wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And so that I encourage everyone to deal with trauma that's in your life, you know, because even when you think it's not affecting you, it is.
For sure.
Right.
And I wanted to say, even about that, I think sometimes our response as adults when we go through is to make sure our children never go through,
exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we then begin to build this idea in our head that, you know, if my daddy was violent and aggressive towards my mom, I'm never gonna raise my voice, right? Mm-hmm. I don't deal with conflict, you know, I don't fuss. Or, you know, if I had a lot of housing instability or different things, I'm going to make sure my children have all these things that I never had. And I think those things are very noble, and we do want to create healthy environments. But I also want to remind everyone that trauma lives in us. Mm. Our body remembers.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you may not put them in that same environment, but some of those ways you cope. I don't fuss, but I just avoid all conflict. Mm-hmm. So no one ever knows how to resolve anything in our family. If there's an issue, we don't yell about it, but we don't deal with it, right?
Right. Yes.
So as adults, even if your children are not in those environments, we have to heal so we model positive things for them.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, well, this is so good.
I know. You're going to have to come back, Dr.
Yeah.
Bill. You're going to have to come back and give us some more time. So how can people, I'm not sure exactly what you're practicing, but how can people find you? How can people get in touch with you?
So, awesome. Thank you for asking. So, I do not take direct clients, which means I don't do therapy. There are a lot of great providers in our area. But if you do have an organization and you are in need of training, consulting, I'm going through a rebrand right now on my website. But my website is www.higher-horizons.com. Or you can email me directly at dr.bell@higher-horizons.com. That's the best way of getting in contact with me. Reach out. I love to talk about training and consulting opportunities for your organization or ministry.
She'll be back on the show.
Yes, she will.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being on the show. You have been listening to Look Who's Talking.